Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, April 30th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is from our worship series, OMG, Jesus is Alive, Recognizing the Risen Christ. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 25.
At this place and at this time. So it's not like these disciples had an appointment with him. But he came anyway. So this is not Saul on the Damascus Road, if you know that story, where Jesus shows up and there's bright lights and Saul, Saul, right? This is just Jesus showing up, walking alongside. If they were walking fast, I imagine he walked fast, kept same pace. If they were plodding along, then he just kind of fell in alongside them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So he was there, but they didn't really get it. Isn't that weird? That Jesus, the risen Christ, is right there. It seems obvious to us. Oh, it's Jesus, it's right there. If he were a snake, he could have bit ya. And so I wonder, did his body look different because it was after the resurrection? Was he really identifiable as the same person that had taught them at the Sermon on the Mount? Or maybe they didn't recognize him because they weren't expecting him. He wasn't in the place that they were expecting at all. Perhaps the disciples are so disoriented in their sense of grief and disappointment that they're not really seeing or understanding straight. Those moments of intense emotion can really throw off our perception of what we see around us. We don't really get a good answer to this, but it does match my experience that it's part of our human condition and foolishness that we miss a lot of things that are clear later on. Somebody tells you a joke, and you go, ha, 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 ha. And then later on, you go to somebody you trust and kind of like, I didn't get it. And then they explain the joke to you, and of course now the joke's not funny anymore. But then you go, oh, that's what was so funny about that joke. I wonder if this Emmaus story is more like that. So at verse 17, Jesus turns around and says to them, what are you discussing with one another while you walk along? Jesus joins the conversation. He doesn't take over. Been at a dinner party and somebody's like talking and you're talking with somebody else and then somebody just comes in and they just start talking about their own stuff. That's not Jesus' approach here. Jesus comes in and goes, hey, what are you guys talking about? He's gentle. I think he comes alongside. And the two disciples stood still. So they're walking along, and then they're like, they turn, they look at him. They stood still. They stopped walking, and they were sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him sarcastically, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place here in these days? And what does Jesus say? What things? He sounds like the therapist, right, who's not going to give you your own answer, but let you find out for yourself. Oh, tell me, what things? And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. They know the story. They knew what was expected. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. We hoped he was the one who was going to change our lives and change the world. But we had hoped. Who's the English major here? That's a particular tense, pluperfect or something. They used to hope, and now they had stopped hoping. They had hope. Pluperfect? Past perfect. Past perfect verb tense. But because it is Easter morning, they tell him this as well. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see him. These disciples, they knew the story. They're telling the Easter story right back to Jesus. They have the timeline correct. They didn't go to the tomb themselves, so they didn't have firsthand knowledge. But they got the news from the women. That's pretty close secondhand knowledge. This is the women came back and told us. So the story of the resurrection is there, but it really hasn't changed their lives at all. Perhaps they know the facts, but not the meaning and significance of what has happened. That happens to us too. Sometimes a big event happens and we're just in shock. It's happened. We know the world's about to change, but we're not really ready to deal with it yet. Then Jesus turns to them and says, "Oh, how foolish you are." A friend of mine translated this as, "Oh, you idiots." Which isn't good, because I keep telling the middle schoolers, don't call people names. But Jesus turns around and goes, "Wow, you all have missed this. And how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" So Jesus has now turned from listening to talking. And so he starts teaching. And the central point of his teaching is that the Messiah was going to suffer. And that suffering does not mean that God was absent. That pain and sacrifice was part of the larger plan. And then God will turn it all around. We have doubts like that. When things are painful, we go, God must not have been in the middle of that. But Jesus is saying, there's pain, there's suffering, there's crucifixion. And he interpreted. So beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Jesus doesn't just discuss his own opinions here. He brings evidence to the table. This is good Common Core stuff. What evidence do you have to back up your, sorry, the teachers in the room, right? What evidence do you have for this position? He says, here's the evidence. Here's what the prophets were saying. Here's what your scriptures that you know say. Again, Jesus didn't just say, hey, look, you all, it's me. He's saying, you've already been given this gift of scripture. You've already been given a lot of this wisdom. Let me help you look at it a little bit differently. And still, I imagine now they've been walking and talking for at least an hour, you know, maybe longer. It's a 7-mile walk. Still, the walkers don't get it. But that's like us too. Even when we hear things over and over and over again, we don't really get it the first time. So now as the three of them approach the village, that village to Emmaus where they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going to go on. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. It's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. Traveling roads at that time was not safe. It got dark. There are bandits on the roads. And there's a sense of Middle Eastern hospitality where you don't leave anybody out there by themselves. But even then, Jesus was going to keep going. After all that conversation, and they didn't know it was him, he wasn't just going to reveal himself to them. He was ready to be like, okay, nice chatting. Keep going. I do think there's a flip in this story where Jesus had approached the disciples, but now those two disciples who were walking said, we want more of this. We want more of this conversation. And they invite Jesus to stay. They want more of this conversation. And later, when he was at table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. You've heard those phrases before. That's what we say when we have communion. And it's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. And as he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. There's the light bulb. Ding, 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 ding. And it happened in action, not in words. And it happened in the giving of a gift. And it happened around a table. It happened in community. Maybe that's happened to you sometime at a moment that you took communion and everything got a little more grace-filled. And then Jesus vanishes. Okay, not fair. Don't we have this promise that God is with us all the time and everywhere? And at the very moment that they break bread and they want to be hanging out with Jesus, he disappears. What happened to that? God is omnipresent. It makes me wonder if sometimes that Jesus plays games with us. Not manipulative games, but games like hide and go seek. Children love to play hide and go seek. Right? And you know that they're in the house somewhere, and you go looking. And it's a game. It's fun, because then when you find them, you go, oh, I got you! Oh my, OMG, oh my gosh, you were in the bathtub this whole time. I think there's something about how God wants to interact with us that's more like playing hide and go seek than just saying, I'm here all the time, come find me. Because of that sense of delight and seeking and being found. It also reminds me of peekaboo, right? You take a child, right? And you hide your face, and then when you open up, the baby's eyes just light up. Oh, you're still there. And you do this, and like, oh, maybe you're not. You do that. Oh, you're still there. So when I can think about Jesus and God playing peekaboo with us, I'm a little more okay with Jesus vanishing at that moment. Because I don't love that part of the story. So they said, then after he's gone, they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, when he was opening the scriptures to us? The two disciples start looking back over their past couple hours, and hindsight is 20/20. Right? They are the great couch quarterbacks. They're great backseat drivers. Oh, now, that thing I was noticing makes sense now. And it became clear to them that Jesus was with them and teaching them the whole time. And they became joyful and celebratory, because they've now been some of those disciples who got to witness the firsthand account of Jesus in their midst. Sure, they heard the story from the women, but now they're like, oh. and they're able to share with one another and talk with one another. Perhaps each of them had that burning feeling in their heart, but they didn't say anything in the moment. After Jesus left, one of them says, "I had this strange feeling." And the other person says, "Oh, I did too." But they only knew that once they started talking about it with one another, to be with somebody else who gets it, who gets what Jesus has been doing in their lives. Their faith strengthens as they tell that story to one another, and another person says, "I get it too." At its best, I think that's what church is. That when we gather, we talk about Jesus together, and you can look back and say, "Yeah, I think Jesus was in our midst here." And somebody else says, "Yeah, I think he was too." Okay, George. Thanks. You're snoring. Okay. And then that very same hour, so it's evening, it's almost sundown in this place where it's not great to be traveling at night, but that very same hour, they're just like, this cannot wait until morning. They got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They went ahead and did one of those repent 180s. They had been going away from Jerusalem and they said, "We get it. This is not where we're supposed to be." And they hit the road and they made it back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they found the 11 disciples, right? 12 minus Judas, and other companions gathered together. They wanted to share their realization, their aha moment. In verse 34, they, which is the 11, when they walked in the door, the 11 who were there were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He appeared to Simon." So they walk in the door, and those people are saying, "We saw Jesus." And the two who had been walking then shared their story. They told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I wonder, as we've been looking at this story, which part of the story is about you today? Is it that grieving, bewildered spot? Is it that Jesus is there, but you don't think you really get it? Maybe it's a time when your faith feels really strong and you're easily able to celebrate and share the risen Christ. Because there's a lot in this story about how Jesus interacts with us. For me, I've been already talking, it's about the recognition. It's about the hide and seek aspect and the cry of delight. I'm so captured by this idea that Jesus could be walking among us, hidden in plain sight. Some of you remember these? Do you guys remember these things? So this is what's called a magic eye picture. And I'm going to hang it up there later so you can eyeball it. So you can see all these different faces. But if you stand just the right distance away, you're not going to be able to see it here and now, but if you stand just the right distance away and you focus your eyes, this will pop into a 3D image. So these were really popular, what, late 80s, early 90s? Because the image is already there. But I'll tell you, people who don't see these, they're like, "It's not really there." And the people who see it go, it's there. And there's all this sort of coaching. Oh, try crossing your eyes. try going 6 inches forward. Try backing up 6 inches. Oh, stay still. Because we need to help one another see it. But it's not that it's not there. That's what I think the risen Christ is like. The risen Christ is in our midst. Christ is already here. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. May we have the attention to pay attention to where God is in our midst. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Okay, here. You want to go hang that up? There's a... Oh, thank you. It was indeed when Jesus was at table. They weren't expecting communion. They were breaking bread at the end of a long day walking on a dusty road. There is something to this ancient ritual that's not left to imagination. You don't get to pretend that you're tasting bread. There's a tangibleness to this. St. Augustine calls this an invisible God wearing a visible hat. And the sacraments of baptism and of communion are those times that we of the Christian faith proclaim, Christ is here. We know Christ is in this meal. He's the one who said, come and eat. He's the one who said, remember me in this meal. And so he invites all to come to eat with him and to have your eyes be opened to the grace that he offers. This morning we will celebrate by intinction. We have gluten-free bread, different than the one we had on Friday of Good Friday, so we're working on it. I'm going to invite you to grab a piece of the gluten-free bread, dip it into the cup, and return to the side aisles. If you're not able to walk forward, we'll be happy to bring around some to you. And just like similar, but not identical, many of you say grace before a meal, recognizing the bounty that God gives you at every single meal and saying thank you. And so we say a special form of grace and thanksgiving when we come to this meal as well. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, for the gift of Scripture and the prophets. And we bless you for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive the sacrifice of our praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. It was when Jesus was with the disciples, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. When you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. And again, giving thanks to God, he shared it with the disciples and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so every time you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." And so we who are gathered here today, take this bread and this cup and proclaim that Jesus is alive here in our midst, that he is yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that he is coming again to make all things new. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian
for
Church.
Those who are serving, please come forward.
To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.